Actually, let's start out. Why don't you tell everybody about your butt plug?
The butt plug story. All right.
Tell me more about your butt plug.
All right. Let me go ahead.
No, honestly, you want me to read the message or I'll just quote it from memory? It said...
No. I'll go ahead and read the message from my friend who gave me permission to go ahead and tell everybody this story.
Oh, he gave permission, bro?
As long as I did not say where he was from and his name. So... thank you, friend.
Thank you, mysterious friend of Dave's. What's up, kid?
Dude, I can't.
Yes,
all
you
right,
can.
All right.
What happens when you lose a
butt plug? He says, he writes to me, he goes, Dave, what's up, man? Anytime that someone starts with your name, you know it's good, all right? So I'm like, not much, man. What are you up to? He says, you around anybody? Question mark.
Don't tell anybody my secret.
I said, nope, just me in my basement, which is creepy, by the way, but...
That's not that creepy.
He says... Remember the advice that you gave me about 2 years ago?
I hate it when people say that to me, because I'm like, you know, it's probably not good advice anymore.
That my wife and I introduced butt plugs into our relationship. And experiment with them.
Oh. Tip of the hat to Dave.
And I'm like, all right, I'm calling you. Because you probably don't want this on text message or proof that this has been written. He said, thank you. So I pick up the call. It's like, all right, well, man, what's up? And he goes, so, you know, just letting you know, my wife loves the butt plug. We... totally love it. It's amazing. And one day I was searching and found out that, you know, guys can use them too. Duh. I mean, surprised that you had to search that, but all right.
One size fits all.
So experimenting it with it, my wife's gone. I'm like, okay, that's never a good thing when experimenting when your wife's gone, but keep going. He says, I lost the butt plug. And I'm like, so go find it. No. I lost it in my asshole. What do you do when you lose a butt plug in your asshole?
All right, honestly, if somebody asked me that question, my answer would be like, go take a shit. But that's probably not the right advice.
I was like, trying not to laugh. I mean, I'm really trying not to laugh. I'm like, what are you doing right now? Like, and he's like, I'm in the crab position. And I'm like, yeah? And I'm like, so put me on speakerphone so you don't have to.
He says to me, he goes,
puts me on speakerphone and puts me down. And when he bends over to puts me down, you hear a boink right off the floor.
So that's what you do is you put your friend on speakerphone and it takes care of itself.
It fucking dropped out. Oh, my God. Could not laugh any harder. I was like, bro, you okay? He goes, yeah, besides the blood, I'm fine. Wow. Lost my shit, bro. Oh, my God,
dude,
man.
He did too, apparently. Holy well, that's impressive,
shit,
bro.
I can't.
That's impressive. You're kind of like the Jesus of the butt plug situation. You just got to call upon the name of Dave.
And he's like, what would have happened if I didn't get it out? I'm like, well.
Call 911.
You would have got to know the doctors and nurses a little bit more personal than you wanted to. Oh, my God. All right, Mark.
Dude.
I'm done.
Oh, I'm glad I've been waiting. Ever since I got to Cracker Barrel last night to hear that story. When I got into Cracker Barrel, because I was walking the dog, I handed the phone to my wife, and I was like, read that message. So she was like, then my kids were like, what? I was like, you don't want to know, but it's really gross. And I started kind of like outlining the details to it, and they're like, stop, Dad. Dad, don't tell us. Dad, don't tell us.
Dude, it's, I was like, got off the phone with him. I'm like, I have to wait 24 hours before I call him and ask him if I can use this. 24 hours. That's all I needed. It was like 24 hours. Can I get 24 hours before he realizes it's not an embarrassing moment? So I waited until Monday morning to call him. It was like, hey, man, this story is too good. I cannot not tell the story. And he's like, I know. I was afraid of that. And I was like, I won't use your name and I won't tell you where you're from. And nobody will ever know. I was like, I won't even tell Mark. It's between him and I. Or between you and I. And he's just like, all right.
Whoever you are out there, I already know who you are.
No doubt he's listened to this today.
Whoever you are, I know you.
Oh, my God. Best story ever.
Okay. So that reminds me a lot of Ja Morant right now. No, I'm just kidding. Not the best time. But, yo, I saw Richard Jefferson talking about it with Malika Andrews. And it was like incredible. He's just like talking about having the conversation with his kids, and they're like, his kids could be like, why would he do that? Like, I don't know. That's what my kids ask. Like, I was explaining with like Ja, I was like, well, you know that guy who got in trouble with the gun, it cost him $40 million?
Yeah. Wasn't enough.
He just did it again. And they're like, why? What do you say in that moment? You're like, I don't know. I don't understand. Maybe, honestly, bro. Maybe there's something wrong, like with his mentals.
Let's just be honest, man. We talked about this. I mean, we were right up front honest about it.
Well, yeah, we got concerned about another Gilbert Arenas situation. We did.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's one of those things that when you're seeing it, you're looking at it, you're like, well, a young man with a gun, with a weapon, flaunting it around, dancing with it, doesn't really understand the issue with it, right? So when we saw it the first time, I was like, I'm concerned about Ja, because if he doesn't understand how big of a deal this is, then it's over. So he goes and meets him, the commissioner. The commissioner obviously thinks Ja gets how big of a situation it is. And I'm telling you guys,
Jalen Rose interview.
It was a lenient mm-hmm. suspension that he was given. This was not a hard suspension. This was lenient.
It reminds me a bit of like if you get like arrested and they put you on probation. Right, like they're saying, hey, if you get arrested again, you're gonna get in trouble for the first offense and this offense at the same time. Do you think that's what's gonna happen here? Is that they're gonna double up as a suspension?
Dude, I think the only way that the commissioner looks that he can get to him at this moment, 80-game uh-huh. suspension, bro.
80-game suspension.
I think he may look at it like, okay, you know what? We'll give him a 40-game suspension as long as he stays out of trouble. But this is, again, on the Memphis Grizzlies. And I want to make sure that everybody understands this, because the Memphis Grizzlies had an opportunity to take him out the rest of the season, but they decided not to. If you had taken him out the rest of the season, made sure he went to rehab, made sure he had all the other issues that he was under control, this wouldn't have happened.
A lot of things wouldn't have happened. But, yeah, you're right. This specifically would not have happened.
And I look at this as a organizational fumble. If they had taken care of it right, Morant would have seen what was the issue with it. He would have never ever had the situation that he's currently under. And it makes me sad, because Morant is one of those young men that I see a huge future with. I felt like he could be somebody in the NBA that we see in 15 years down the road. But how many times have we seen an unbelievable athlete make stupid decisions and derail their careers? And I think about the type of decision this was, and I almost line it up with Latrell Sprewell. When Latrell Sprewell choked out PJ
Carlissimo.
Thank you. So this is, in my opinion, the same exact situation you got on your hands. Yes, there wasn't a violent act about hands around neck, but this was a slap on the wrist just after, or this was a big mistake just after a slap on the wrist. Like, mm-hmm. to me, there's going to be a repercussion, because, you know, Adam Silver feels insulted, incredibly insulted right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel insulted when I get lied
yeah.
to.
And he's like, probably like, you know what? I'm done with this. I gave him an opportunity, and 2 months later, he took advantage of that. So what happens? This next time, he's going to learn, what, 6 months later, he's going to do it again? No.
If he had been suspended through the end of the season, he would not have made this mistake. You have to suspend him in a situation where, like, honestly, at this point, Adam Silver has to cover his own ass. he can't be looked back and said like, oh yeah, this was a habitual problem. And the reason was because he was surrounded by enablers, including the commissioner. Like, yeah. Somebody has to be the adult in the situation and say like, no, there's a punishment for this. And it sucks because, I mean, I was talking to my wife and kids about this on the drive last night. And it was like, why is it that a rapper can show a gun in a video and it doesn't matter? But then a basketball player does. And it does matter and a big deal. And it really comes down to one thing, corporate sponsorships. You know, like when you're an independent artist, you can do anything you want. But when you have the city's biggest companies, you know, behind your team, then you're in a spot where your actions reflect a lot more than just yourself. And each of the situations, like the question about like how he had the gun, why he had the gun, who he was with, where he was, you know, what time it was, all these things start coming into questions. And then this last video, like just like driving around in a car,
a car that's moving with somebody taking a live.
Yeah,
man, this is,
it becomes really, really confusing. Like, and because it almost seemed like he wanted to be seen, and it seems weird to think about because how could you really want to? And I gotta stop real quick and shout out everybody in the chat. Tanner, Zaire, Smitsta.
Hell yeah, man.
Sammy Dog, Carson, what's up, guys? Thanks for joining us. But, like, almost like, okay, you think that I'm losing $40 million is going to change me, right? It's not going to change me. I'm still the same me. That's what it seemed like to me. Like, I'm not, like, it seemed like a reaction specifically to the news that he lost $39 million. Yeah. Because it was like, wow, everybody's sitting there thinking, wow, he must have learned his lesson. Mm. Watch this. Money can't change me. And like, I think a lot of people think money will change you when you get the money. But what about when you lose the money? Will it change you? And he's like, neither one of these is going to make a difference. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting carried away. Thank you.
No, I was listening.
Breakfast.
I was listening to Little Baby.
I'm going to put it on mute for a second.
Yeah, you're good. I was listening to Little Baby, the rapper Little Baby. I like rap music, but I'm more like listening to rappers that are incredibly gifted businessmen talk. Little Baby is one of those guys. And I look at it and I'm listening to Little Baby talk and he's basically like, listen, the rap game and the gangster game is completely different in the aspect of back in the day, you know, people were, and what he, Little Baby's doing was using the rap game to get out of the drug world. He's saying that people that are like these rich kids now are using their money to get into the gang world. And I don't know if I necessarily like understood what he was saying, but I'm watching Ja Morant and it's like, here he is an athlete, basketball athlete, and he's acting like he is a rapper. And it's concerning, you know, like I don't know how to explain it except for, I just feel bad for the young man because he has not had an opportunity to be taught that this is not the way that you go about with your business. And as much as I want to say that, you know, well, he could have had the, you know, proper upbringing. Like, I'm sorry. At what point in anyone's life is carrying a weapon around an okay thing? I mean, I get it. I was born in the 80s and in the 90s, driving around Oklahoma, we would see, you know, rifles in the back of people's pickup trucks in the windows, you know, and it was just normal stuff like that. But we're not talking about the 90s anymore. You know, we're talking about the 2020s where all these young kids are connected to every single social media app ever. And then on top of that, we've had all these gun shootings in America, and it's insane. So, of course, there's going to be spotlights on Ja for this. Of course that people are going to look at this and be like, he's disrespecting the kids in America right now. And it, to me, it's just not, it's not something that I'm okay with at this point. Yes, everybody has their own right to make decisions, but let's just be honest. If Ja wants to go down this road, he's going to be, you know, he's worth $80 million right now, guys, but he could have been worth, I mean, so much more, but he keeps on making mistakes. So instead of being worth, you know, $300, $500 million in his course of his contract, he's going to be worth maybe $80 million.
The crazy thing is, and this kind of answers your question, Carson, a little bit, but
what's up, Sammy?
How long until he's out of the league?
dude, it's his decision at this point. This next suspension is his last suspension before he gets an insane amount.
And I asked my kids, how much do you think he lost from the first one? Got some wild numbers, right?
$74 million is what I think is my number.
So one of them said $5 billion, just to throw it out there, right? And I was like, no, not that much. But then I started thinking about it. He was on track to become a billionaire before he was 30.
35. Okay. Yeah.
Probably 30, so? Bro. With
a Nike contract coming out soon? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're if right. he could hit $1 billion before 30, you should be able to turn that billion into $2 billion at some point. Like, it might actually have cost him, if he doesn't get this shit together, it might cost him $5 billion. It might already cost him the chance at becoming a billionaire.
No, 100%.
Before he's 40. 100%. You know, because it's really, really crazy.
The only way for him to restart his career is, first of all, being traded like Latrell Sprewell was. Get him out. Get him to a big city. Get him to a new place. Let him play his career out there. Because the reality is that we've seen this happen before. Once you get a face, once you get somebody that... And you think about Gilbert Arenas, and I forget who the other guy was in the locker room where they're like pulling their weapons on each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know his name because I don't.
Played again after that.
It was Gilbert Arenas was a $100 million plus dollar athlete, and he just it was gone, and he earned that shit. It wasn't like given to him. He earned that shit the hard way, and then it was just gone.
It was gone, and like just insane. They had to change an entire organization's name. You know, like, I think it was maybe it had been started being the process of being changed before that. But
I think they were the Wizards back when Jordan played for them in the early 2000s.
Oh, they were. You're right. So bullets had been changed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But it definitely touched a sensitive nerve. I mean, same with what's going on right now with Memphis. Like, guys, think about this. Memphis has some of the worst gun violence in anywhere in the country. This is not a small deal to have a young superstar endorsing guns. It's not gun violence, but it's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. Memphis is one of the most difficult places to grow up. And then, like you're saying, you have somebody who doesn't need it. They have all the money in the world, and they're glamorizing a really sad lifestyle. So
again, it's just...
Appreciate you, Sammy.
It just sucks, man. It sucks seeing how... A single player can take such a negative spotlight and put it right on the NBA. Like, there's so much good happening on right now in the NBA. LeBron, the 7 and 8 seeds are.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the good stuff.
And it's
bro.
Just insane to me that it's stuck like this. And I want to throw up before we go talk about the good stuff. Yeah. I have this note right here, guys. Bob Myers, man. Let's talk about Bob Myers. All right. So Bob Myers just came out, and I was listening to Woj before we got on. Bob Myers came out and said he, right, doesn't know if he's going to be back. He's going to take a couple weeks in June after the decision. And the reason is because he's so attached.
Cop out.
So attached Cop out Myers. To these That's what we gotta players call and the core of these players. Next steps are going to be difficult. And my point is that
he can't make decisions. That's the problem.
He is not going to want to get rid of any of these players. And he knows that he has to tear this team apart because you can't pay $62 million to Wiggins and Poole. You just can't. $62 million is not something you can pay to these guys. And now that's $62 million. You got all these other contracts that are up. It's important that I look at this and I'm saying he really just put himself in the box. Now, whether or not Myers will take the job and blow apart the team or not, that's a whole new thing. But I'm looking at this, guys, and I'm saying, how are you going to take apart this team? What are you going to have to take apart? Are you going to keep Curry? Are you going to keep Clay? Are you going to keep those two and maybe one other big-time player and then get rid of everybody else? But here's the problem. Who's going to take Wiggins? Who's going to take Poole's contract? The $31 million plus each year. So who's going to take those contracts? Well, I got it. You're going to have to trade one of your better players and attach those guys or one of those guys to that better player. It's the only way. Because the reality is that you're not going to be able to get in a situation where you're going to be able to trade. And on top of that, how many teams are going to be able to really cough out $70 million? There's not a lot.
No, under the new CBA, bro?
Under the new CBA, there's...
The number that can and the number who will now just became very different.
Very little. So now you're sitting in a spot where Bob Myers might not be able to trade any of these guys.
Yeah.
Except for Clay, Steph, and Draymond. And you have to keep everybody else. Do you want to be the face of that organization after you trade all those guys?
What would you do? Let's say you're Bob Myers situation and you will not walk away. Okay. So then how do
you... First thing I do?
Yeah.
Is I take a playbook out of Danny Ainge's playbook. And he went and got like 5 first-round picks for Gobert.
You're talking like go Danny Ainge.
I think what I'm talking about is I'm talking about Myers saying,
that's beautiful, bro.
I'm going to trade starting off with Draymond Green, who is my least valuable asset. I'm going to see what my max amount of picks I can get for him for. Maybe 2, maybe 3, whatever it is, right? And then I'm going to go trade Clay. And I'm going to see what I can get. And after I trade Clay...
Bro, why not just keep Clay and Steph?
Because you can't.
Why not?
Financially, you can no longer keep Clay and Steph because you can't trade the other guys. You're going to have to show the other guys that they're valuable in order to trade them. And during that time...
You're saying you have to trade Draymond and Clay because
and Steph.
You signed Poole and Steph?
Dude, tear the fuck out of that team, bro. You have to, man. Listen to me. How are you going to be able to survive? How are you going to be able to survive if you decide that you're going to go with no draft picks, no way of getting any guys to come to your team from the off year? You can't. There's nothing you can do. You're handicapped with that cap space. The only way to do is tear it down. Now, if you get rid of those 3 guys, you're under your salary cap number, and you have 8 or 9 draft picks for the future. And then as these other guys are getting good and you have a chance to understand, is Poole going to be that player that we paid him for? No? Well, now we got to sit here and cough up his shit. That sucks for us. You like Poole has no tradable assets, man. Who's going to pay anything for Poole? Who's going to pay anything for Wiggins? There's no way of getting rid of these guys with the new CBA. The only way to get rid of these guys is by trading the better guys, and hopefully you can sit there and say, I'm under the cap level, so at least I can have an opportunity to rebuild over the next 5 to 6 years. Because otherwise, you're going to be sitting here in 2 years, and your team's going to be so fucked, you have nothing left. You have nothing left. You're going to be sitting there being we could have had a pick or two, but no, we didn't trade any of our players because Steph's so old. Clay's getting there. He's already had issues injury-wise, and Draymond Green is a head case. You got to get rid of these guys while they have value right now.
He's like,
That's why he's having a hard time with it, because he knows what I'm saying is right. I mean, you can't sit there and say, I'm attached to these players, that's why I don't want to come back. Like, if you know that all of them are going to be back next year, you know? Like, you might be able to keep Clay because of his age. But, man, I say you start back over, man. You just say, Steph, I'll try to get you someplace you can go. But, you know, there's a very few teams that have the draft capital that we need. It's a strip down.
Bob Myers is like your friend that lost his butt plug, bro.
When you know, you know.
I'm just saying, it's could you imagine, right? Like, okay. So, look, everybody gives Jerry Krause a ton of shit, and he deserves it for what happened with, like, the Bulls. But they won 6 championships, right?
Yeah.
In the end, the reason they won 6 championships was because he knew you don't trade Jordan and Pippen so that you can extend Horace Grant and Steve Kerr or yeah. John Paxson or whatever.
Well, Bob Myers built this team around the old CBA.
Yeah, that's the danger. Bob Myers didn't fucking build this team.
Well,
this was a Jerry West team.
Yes.
Jerry West was the guy that said, he went to the ownership and said, if you do not draft Klay Thompson, I quit. He forced him to pick Klay Thompson. Bob Myers wanted some other motherfucker. Bob Myers picked James Wiseman. Bob Myers.
That's what I'm saying. This is Bob Myers' mess. Like you can say anything else you want, but who else gave Poole $140 million? Who else gave you know, Wiggins, that massive contract. Who else gave? I mean, we can go down the list.
Yeah.
This is on Bob Myers, and he's got to clean up his own mess. But the problem is, I don't think he's going to want to clean up his own mess. This is to me, like, the Warriors fans are going to be so pissed with whoever has to tear down this organization. And I really, like I said, I hope it's this year, because next year he might be able to get a pick or two for Steph. Because everybody's going to recognize how valuable picks are, and they're going to be like, fuck trading picks anymore. You know? We have to build players.
That's crazy talk, but you're probably right. At least there's a risk.
And if you want to roll the dice and go for it, man. But the reality is that your payroll is going to be so insane. And then you have no capability of signing any free agents. I mean, what are you going to do?
I don't know, man. Just quit. Just be like,
let somebody else clean the shit up.
Anymore.
I'm going to go be a GM for a team that can appreciate.
This is depressing me, all the bad decisions I made, so I'm out.
Oh, my God, dude.
Game one. We got game one tonight.
Yeah, dude. 7-2 or 7-1 and 8-1, right? Or 8-2.
Or both.
8-2.
They're both not playing today. Who's playing tonight? I'm pulling it up right now.
That would be the West.
Lakers in Denver.
Yeah.
8:30 Eastern.
All right. I know there's a lot of people that want Denver out there for their Oklahoma City fans.
Oh, really?
I know. I heard an Oklahoma City fan the other day was like, I'm rooting for Denver. I hate Lakers so much. I'm rooting for Denver.
Okay.
But
I can see that.
I lived in Denver. And I know how people like look at us in Oklahoma City as it's like, we're in Denver. And below us is Oklahoma City, right? So I don't like that. I would rather root for the Lakers.
So you're going for the Lakers.
I'm going for Lakers, man. What about you?
All right. So when you were living in Denver, Russ put up that game.
Triple-double 50, baby.
50-point triple-double. He earned the triple-double, first one since Oscar Robertson. But he also, that pass from Steven Adams for that deep three, he knocked the Nuggets out of the playoffs with that game, and the fans gave him a standing ovation. I've never seen that happen before. A team gets knocked out of the playoffs, as passionate as that Nuggets fan base was, and they gave him a fucking standing ovation. So for that, I'm hoping the Nuggets win the championship, because those fans have class. Now, they might think we don't have class. That's their mistake, but that's in the end, they've got fucking class. It reminded me of a classic Madison Square Garden game.
Yeah.
Where LeBron goes out and puts up the double nickel or whatever. Something happens and the fans are just like, tip of the hat to you, sir, because that was a performance. And here we love great performances. And that's what Russ did. And you know, kudos to the Nuggets fans for recognizing something special when you see it. That's it.
Well,
what about the other one, bro? Boston, Miami. What you got for that?
Oh, I'm going underdogs on both, bro. I want to see an 8-7 seed championship game, man. I know it sounds weird, but I like the idea.
It's not weird.
I like the idea of play-in teams making it all the way. Like, to me, that proves to what I've been saying and all of our other listeners that have been echoing what we're saying is the play-in game is way more valuable than anybody's really willing to recognize. And we're seeing it firsthand, what's happening, and it's exciting, bro. I want more of it. I want to get into it. I want to see what happens when a team in 7-8 seed all of a sudden will make it, because then anybody that's a 7-8 seed or, you know, a 10-9 seed, all of a sudden they have this belief, man. They're like, I can do this. We can do this. Great, bro.
Do you think it's the starting point for an expansion? Or do you think
how many
good with this?
This is the problem about expanding it past what it is right now. Okay, so if we expand it any more, then Dallas would have made it, right? And the next team would have made it. So there's only, what, six teams in the NBA that wouldn't make it? I don't know, man. That just seems like it would be.
So really, in the first, the regular season would just be like a seeding tournament instead of like an actual.
Well, I mean, I guess if I mean, here's the thing is how much is the NBA willing to change their direction? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they willing to take it and say, we want to create a playoff environment in this middle of the season playoff way? Is their way of figuring out, is this going to be something that works for the future? Because I'm curious on that. Because is it going to be something that a 10 or a 11 seed could all of a sudden surprise everybody and knock some teams out? I don't know, man. Like, the NBA is proving that they're willing to change with the times, and what that means for the future of it is truly spectacular. I think that there's a lot that's going to happen that's going to surprise us all.
No doubt, bro. Big game by Jason Tatum. You know, I didn't get to see much basketball over the last few days because I've been in the process of moving. So that's been unfortunate, but I'm back locked in a good spot to watch next few games. So,
hey, OKC Tanner, quick question for you.
Let's talk about that. I'm pulling up some stuff right now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like the lottery is tonight. At 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and Mark and I will be on here, or at least I'll be on here watching it live. But I have not heard that, you know, we've moved up to fourth. If we did, I don't think
it's happened yet.
I would be screaming my ass off. But as far as there's no, definitely no proof that that's happened yet.
All right, so let's talk about who we have. The top six, according to Kevin O'Connor's big board here. Anthony Black at number six from Arkansas. Isaiah Thomas, Overtime Elite. Black. Amen Thomas, Overtime Elite.
Do you like the Thomas brothers, bro?
You know, honestly, I'm not as familiar with them as I should be before I even give an opinion. Then you got Brandon Miller at two, Victor at one, and he has Scoot Henderson at three. So if we moved up to four, what would you want to do? Did I name the person, or would maybe like a Taylor Hendricks or Jairus Walker?
If we moved
maybe
it to fourth, for me, I'm looking at it like Scoot Henderson would be my number one choice player.
He doesn't seem like he'll be there at four. He's probably going to be at number two or number three.
I mean, again,
I don't see him getting to four. I just don't.
And I hear you. I don't see him getting to four either. But you know, it's Sam Presti.
So
we've seen crazier things happen.
So Victor's gone.
I think Brandon Miller goes too.
He's gone. Brandon Miller's gone. So those three guys are off the table.
Well, I think Brandon Miller goes too. I think Miller Victor. Goes too. He's getting too much steam right now. Too many teams are talking about him at two. So I feel he goes number two.
People are lying.
That's why. What's that?
They're bluffing. They're all bluffing right now.
I mean, Brandon that's Miller. The thing. There's so much shit going on in
like,
draft talk shit.
Like late part of the lottery. I'm probably wrong.
Here's the thing is, if it's not Scoot Henderson, I'm totally with Frank right here.
Got it.
Trade back, man. You know, get an extra draft pick for another year or two. Get to like six or seven.
I think there's a lot of value, exactly like what you're saying, like around seven, eight, nine.
Yeah, like get to that mid number. A team will overpay for that pick big time, you know?
So you don't even, you say if you get top four, don't use it because
I'm saying if Scoot is available, if Scoot somehow slips down the list and somebody picks up Amir Thompson or something like that ahead of him, then I could see Sam Presti picking Scoot. But if he's not available, like I don't, there's three guys in this pick, this draft class that I would bend over backwards to get. Everybody else, I would feel like that. This is why it's so strange, is because after three, it could be one of six guys. And I'm sitting here saying I would rather move back and let everybody else fight about it, you know, because I probably still get one of the two guys that is on my board still.
You know who I'm really wanting that's probably not in the cards for us? First of all, I've talked about Nick Smith Jr. I like him. Dude,
any Arkansas player, I'm all, yes, give me him, yes.
It's, what's his name's twin? Chris Murray.
Ooh, yeah.
How is it that Chris Murray is still ranked at 27th on this board? Is he not as good as Kyle? Is he?
He's a little bit slower. He's a little bit less polished as far as scoring than his brother. But here's the thing about it is that, like, I think people compare him to his brother, and that's why he's dropped so far. Because if you're comparing him to his brother, you see somebody that's missing a few things. But if you're comparing him to the rest of the draft class, I personally think he should be picked around like 17, like the Poku spot, you know, like the Trey Mann spot. You know, like that's a spot that I look at him at.
Keegan, that's his brother's name, not Kyle. But so my thing is, shouldn't his value be increased by what his brother was able to show this year? Or is that irrelevant?
It depends, man. Like
think about it like this. Like we were talking about the new CBA, and you're like, it's going to increase the value of polished rookies, or at least players who are a little bit older and can contribute right away. I would say, after watching Keegan play, that you got to think Chris is prepared.
Yeah.
For the NBA. He's been working out NBA workouts. He's got size. He's got length. His stats aren't bad, although, like you're saying, not the best, but 20 points a game. I mean, you'd like him to shoot a little higher than 33% from deep, but 8 rebounds, 1.2 blocks. The nice thing is he's left-handed, which gives you a slight advantage in on offense in the NBA, any league, really. But I think that that could be a real advantage.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I hope we get him, but I mean, somebody's going to be really happy with him, I think.
I think there's no doubt in my mind that he has a future in the NBA. I would love for us to have a second round pick if we had to trade up and get him. I would love to see that because it's just less money guaranteed. I would also like to see us, if we had an opportunity, to maybe pick up like a player. Okay, so let's just say, like, for shits and giggles right now, we did get the number 4th pick. And then we traded back to a team with the number 7th pick, right? So we dropped 3 spots back. They gave us a 24th pick, 25th pick, something like that, you know, in exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to take that and pick Kyle and Anthony Black. I would be beyond.
Yeah, like, Chris, but yeah.
You're right. Murray.
That'd be crazy.
To me, like, there's certain values like that I would look at and be like, yeah, that would be totally worth it. Because, it's different money. I think we'd end up losing, like, $4 million in that process. But to me, that doesn't matter when you get 2 rookies that would be like that.
I love it, bro.
So,
all right. So, Carson, you're asking about Anthony Black. And the reality is, and this is embarrassing to admit, but I actually don't know Anthony Black's game very well. I've noticed him climbing the draft.
So good.
I've noticed that, like, people will give him, like, comps to, like, a LaMelo kind of thing. So you guys tell me, what do you guys think? You think if we got top 4 that we would go for Anthony Black? Is he the type of, like, playmaker that we're trying to build this team around?
Again, what I'm saying is that there's so many players at 4 that could go there. Like, it could be Anthony Black, it could be one of the Thompson twins, it could be, you know, it could go any way, any direction, man. I've never seen a 4 through 12 pick like this before. Like, it's all over the board,
bro. I think you lost you board, bro. Froze up. I think that's what's going on. I hate to talk over you if you're still talking, but I figured, whoops, looks like we lost our internet.
You there, Mark? All right. Sorry, guys. It looks like he might have paused, went to timeout. Internet jail. No, I think that this is going to be a really interesting pick for us. I hope we can move up on it, and the reason I hope we can move up is because I feel like Dallas needs to be punished somehow. And this would be a great way for Dallas to be punished. We'll see, though. I don't know. Like, I think the NBA is changing, so I think that there could be a future for what happens with this team. When I say that, I mean, this draft pick, out of all the last 3 years – or 2 years of drafts, this draft year is the one that I would say we need the most to hit, or need the least to hit. And the reason is because you are right when you say, Carson, is that this pick, even if it was a, you know, top 4 pick or number 4 pick, it would probably still, the player would still come off the bench. That kind of tells you where this team's at. This team is still building, yes, but we're at a very crucial situation where whoever is coming into this team is going to be coming off the bench. You're going to have to earn your spot. And this goes back to what I said in the beginning of this year, was whatever pick that we have coming from the first round, I still believe it's going to end up being one of those picks that we end up seeing in the future. And it could be one of those guys that go to the G League in the beginning. And I'm okay with that. I mean, we saw what the G League does for players that go down there and play and learn the system. So I'm more concerned of seeing that and what can be accomplished like that. Let's see what else we got here from you guys. Maxwell Lewis, lottery at 12. Hey, listen, like I said, there's a lot of different ways, Frank, that this could go. I do think Maxwell is one of those guys that we have to keep a very close eye on. I like his stats. I like what he can do. And I like his size charts and everything else like that. I mean, phenomenal player. So I think it's one of those things where we're going to be looking at. And OKC Tanner, somebody should not have traded for Kyrie. That is right, dude. Dallas is fucked, guys. I mean, I want to say that I've never been happier. I mean, as much as I used to watch and appreciate the Dallas Mavericks, I no longer can watch and appreciate, and it just seems wrong to like Luka. So makes me happy that if they don't have Kyrie next year, things are going to be better for us in the West. And it's almost as if they're going to the Dallas Mavericks are going to be in like a semi rebuild if they can't get a good player. So interesting stuff there for sure. So I don't know. I'm excited about this Oklahoma City Thunder team as we're definitely getting to that point where we're starting to see what's going to happen. After tonight, Mark and I will have an idea of where our draft pick lands. And then we're going to be starting to focus on the different ideas of what Sam Presti could do, whether a possibility of a trade up could be looking at, possibly something like that. So there's a lot of possibilities that I feel that Sam Presti is going to be looking at. And especially when it comes down to breaking up, breaking down players and looking at their stats, sizes, we love to scout players. So we'll be breaking down that for you guys when the lottery lets us know exactly where we're going to be landing. So I'm pretty stoked for that. I hope that works out well. And I am hoping that we can get, again, if we end up with a 12th, I'm happy with the 12th, guys, because there's a lot of movement that we can do. It still has a lot of value. We could trade it. We could keep it. I don't give a shit, because it's going to be fun to be able to see how this team builds. But, I don't think Mark is coming back, guys, so I think we're good. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about with the Thunder before we head out? If not, I appreciate you guys. You guys are good. We love you guys. And if you guys need anything, you guys can always reach out. Mark and I love to talk about Thunder or whatever else. We have a bunch of you guys that we stay in contact with. And it's nice to be able to talk to you guys. So, definitely have a good day. And we will talk to you guys soon.